Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your hosts, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham.
And I'm your co-host, DJ, short for Deanna Sutterfield. Today is Monday, July 24th, 2017. This is show number 616. We're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Crystal Olivaria, a career coach at Career Conversationalist. Get connected with Crystal on social media via Facebook, Career Conversationalist, on Twitter, at Crystal70K, at LinkedIn, Crystal-Olivaria-32125712, or the website careerconversationalist.com. Listeners, stay tuned for details about how you can receive a complimentary one-hour Help Your Child Discover a Relevant Career Discovery session from Crystal.
If you're listening to our show live, join our fun show discussion currently taking place on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/ArmyWifeNetwork and be sure to use hashtag ArmyWife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families. That's why they need life insurance. Enroll today. Learn more at militarybenefit.org or call 1-877-MBA-1020. DJ, I'm so excited to host the show with you tonight.
I'm excited to host with you as well.
Let's take a few minutes to catch up. What's been going on in your Army wife life lately?
Well, it's kind of chaotic right now. I do purchasing, so we're coming to the end of the fiscal year, and we're spending the money, and I'm just tired of shopping, to be quite honest with you. I'm tired of purchasing. I'm ready for it to be over. And I bought a brand new phone because I wanted a change in my life, right? So I switched brands and everything. I was so excited, and I still don't know how to set up my voicemail. So it's going great over here. How are you?
Not too bad. Haven't done a lot of those kind of changes, but I've been busy working, so kind of like, you know, just kind of busy with work and stuff. And yesterday, since I've been so busy, I haven't had much time to spend with my sister who lives nearby. And her and I went to yesterday to a vegetarian fest.
Really? I've never heard of anything like that. So you got to tell me some more about this.
I hadn't either. So my sister is a vegetarian, and she really wanted to go to this, and no one in the family is like that with her. And so I decided to go with her so I could spend time with her and just see what it was about. So it was kind of neat. It was actually really interesting. Great people and a lot of good food. That, you know, surprisingly was delicious, and we had a good time. It was nice to catch up.
What was your favorite food?
I had an arepa, which is a Spanish thing, and it had chickpeas and cut up vegetables in it in a Spanish sauce, and it was just fantastic.
Okay, that sounds fantastic.
It does.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
I did. So this purchasing stuff, it's kind of crazy to hear a woman say they're tired of shopping. So
My husband loves this time of the year, Debbie, because I refuse to go shopping right now. And this has been going on for a couple of months. So he's like, yes, I love it. We don't have to go to Hobby Lobby, you know. And he's just tickled to death because I don't want to do any kind of shopping. I don't want to look at stuff. I don't want to try on clothes. I don't want to build things. I just want to purchase and get it over with.
he's loving that right now.
Yes, he is.
Oh, how fun. I think that's something most men would probably like to hear.
Yes, he just, you know, he doesn't like the Christmas time because I'm not purchasing then, so I'm spending. But then, you know, when I stop spending because it's purchasing, he's very happy.
So tell me about this new phone. Is it got all kinds of bells and whistles on it and it's really foreign to you?
Yes, it's. I switched totally. I went from, and I hate to say the brands, but I went from the Apple product to the Samsung product, and it's like night and day. I mean, you can't talk. I'm living proof you don't teach an old dog new tricks, okay? Having problems with this phone. So I'm about ready to ask my husband if my son can get an upgrade. He can have this phone, and I want to go back to what I do know.
It is frustrating sometimes when you all these different types of technology. You know, you learn something, and then all of a sudden, when you switch because you think it's going to be better, it's relearning everything, and it's so confusing.
Yes, the grass is not always greener. Okay.
I don't think it is either. Oh, that's good.
But it could always be worse, right?
Very true. And I guess that's how I felt yesterday. You know, I always look at my sister and I think, oh, she's living this great life. But then, you know, I have to say there were a few things that I brought home because they kind of tasted great when I was there. And they just give you these tiny little samples. And most of those were kind of desserts. And I'm not a big desserts person, but my husband is. So I brought them home. And when I tasted them there, I was like, oh, he's so going to love this. This is right up his alley. And when I got it home, I didn't tell him that it was, you know, like gluten-free or this free and that free. And he started tasting things and he was like, oh no, this is not going to work.
Oh.
He did enjoy
it. I can understand that.
But some of the stuff that I really thought he would like, he was like, don't ever do that to me again.
Oh, yes. I mean, and they're kind of, my husband accepts a lot of things, a lot of changes I want to do. Sometimes we want to be healthy. But, yeah, I've tried bringing stuff home. I even tried making meatloaf one time with turkey. It just didn't work out. So we try and stay away from that area of trying new healthy stuff. So I can understand your husband. And
yeah, I kind of thought, well, you know, if you want Chips Ahoy or Oreos, we'll just go with that for now.
Yes.
It's okay. That little bit of junk won't hurt.
Sometimes, you know, we have to reward ourselves.
True, very true. And I think yesterday I learned that.
But it's a good memory you and your sister will share.
Yes, it was. It was good for me to try to just see her way and encourage her. And even it encouraged me to just try something different. And it was good. So it opened my eyes and encouraged me to try to look at her way of eating and being and incorporate some of it in my daily living.
Yeah. I can understand that because it's not like we want to go full force, but hey, some of your ideas are pretty good, so let's try those.
Yeah, absolutely. She got me to eat a vegetarian burrito, and it was delicious.
Okay, I had one of those too, and my mother-in-law's the whole vegetarian thing, and it was one of the best burritos I've ever had in my life.
Wasn't it? I mean, those are so good.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I really enjoyed. There are some vegetarian foods that she taught us how to make that I really enjoy. I wouldn't think it because I'm from Kentucky. We eat beef and we eat pork and we love it. So it's kind of weird for me to throw salads into everything all the time now. But some of it's worked out, you know.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So I guess it's time to start moving on to some of our other things today. We're going to talk about our hot topics now.
Okay.
Hot in military family news, three new special operations dramas set for network TV this fall. In June, most of the major television networks announced premiere dates for their fall seasons, and three of those lineups contain a brand new military-themed hour-long drama highlighting fictional special operators. First in the lineup is The Brave, a journey into the world's elite undercover military heroes, airing on NBC Mondays starting September 25th, 10 p.m. Eastern. You may recognize actress Anne Hesch directing the elite Army unit's moves from afar. Next is SEAL Team, which will air on CBS Wednesdays starting September 27th, 9 p.m. Eastern. Follow the lives of the most elite unit of Navy SEALs as they train, plan, and execute the most dangerous missions our country can ask of them. Fans of the long-running Fox drama Bones or the cult favorite Buffy the Vampire Slayer will recognize David Boreanaz, who leads the elite SEAL squad. And Valor will air on the CW Mondays starting October 9th, 9 p.m. Eastern. Main characters, Nora and Gallo, grow closer and soon find themselves torn between duty, honor, and desire. Before Valor, Brian Stamp had roles in two Netflix staples, House of Cards and Bloodline, and a brief run on AMC's The Walking Dead. MilitaryTimes.com has the details for each new show, including video clips of each for you to preview. Take a peek and then pick a favorite by voting in their fun online poll. To watch and vote, check out the entertainment section of MilitaryTimes.com. A link directly to the poll will be posted in our Twitter feed and in the comments section for this podcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Hot on AWN this week, experienced blogger Jenna Kirkton talks about a resource program called Give an Hour, which is a network of mental health professionals with a passion to give back to the military community. Each member within the program offers 1 hour of their time to counsel our service members, veterans, and their families regarding a myriad of challenges. Jenna expresses that while there are many resources offered to in the military community, the Give an Hour program is one more resource that should be taken advantage of. Jenna will be writing a follow-up post to give details about her own experience with Given Hour. So be sure to check back for her follow-up post. In the meantime, head over to Army Wife Network blog section to read more about Given Hour.
It's AWN social media roundup time. When we think of summer, thoughts often turn to one thing, vacation. AWN would like to know, what is your favorite vacation spot? Even though summer is already halfway over, there's still time to plan an end-of-summer excursion. So head over to the Army Wife Network Facebook page and share your favorite vacation spot with us. So, DJ, you know I got to ask, what is your favorite place to vacation?
Okay, and so you understand, you know, we go, we move, we leave our family all the time. We get to go to different spots, and some are great spots and some aren't so great. But I have to tell you, of all the vacation places I could go to, it would probably be back home. I love being, and I think it's just because I can take my family back there and I can show them where I grew up and where I went fishing and, you know, the four-wheelers. My kids can get on the farm and they can run and play and get muddy or whatever. So home's my favorite place. What about you?
That's awesome. I'd never looked at it like that, but that's a really good, that's a good vacation spot. For me, it's the beach, only because there's something cleansing and soothing about just listening to the waves and watching it. It could be cold, it could be hot. It's just something about the water and the sand, all of it together. I don't like touristy. I like to go to secluded beaches where it's nice and calm and quiet. And I just go because it's relaxing and it just kind of like refreshes my soul.
Oh, that sounds great. I love the beach. That would probably be my second spot, and it would be my number one spot if I could have all my family there. The beach is relaxing. We've had some good duty ups that included the beach and beautiful scenery, and you know, you could, once you became kind of like the locals or whatever, you knew the private beaches. So it is right. I mean, quiet and the peace, and I like to hear the waves, and you can kind of get lost in it, I guess.
Good idea. I think. Yeah.
So are you going to be able to go to the beach this?
I'm holding on to a prayer, hoping I can.
Okay.
And hopefully you can get home too.
Yes, we're planning a big get together for Christmas, so I'm very excited about that. It'll be all of us finally together. You know, it's been a couple of years, so that'll be fun.
That's good. Very good. So we're going to move on to our next segment right now. DJ, tell us about our PSA this week.
Last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. Thousands of families are affected by disasters. Urgently need your support. You can help the American Red Cross by providing warm meals, shelter, and hope to families when they need it most. Please donate today to the Red Cross Disaster Relief to help people affected by disasters, big or small. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS today. Your support is critical. We can't do it without you. That's it for our PSA. Coming up next, after these quick commercial breaks, is our new 6th Gen, bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
Dollars to protect the country. Protecting your family starts at $250 a month. Find out about life insurance from Military Benefit Association. Learn more now.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to 4-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Welcome back, AWTR listeners. We have our News 6 Jen on the line, bringing us our need-to-know news. Hey, Jen, what story do you have for us tonight?
Hi, Debbie and DJ. My story tonight is about newly proposed legislation in the House of Representatives that would make changes to the post-9/11 GI Bill. Changes would include an expansion of benefits for reservists, Purple Heart recipients, and surviving dependents. as well as the elimination of a requirement that veterans use their education benefits within 15 years of active duty service.
Jen, would the elimination of the 15-year requirement apply to current veterans and service members eligible for the GI Bill?
Unfortunately, no. The removal of the 15-year requirement would only apply to service members who become eligible for the GI Bill after 90 days of active duty service after January 1st, 2018, not current veterans or service members.
So can you give us some more details on what else is included in the legislation?
Other highlights of the legislation include retroactive restoration of benefits for GI Bill users affected by school closures since 2015. This would include thousands of veterans who lost their benefits to the now-defunct for-profit college systems like Corinthian Colleges and ITT Tech. The bill also provides additional funds for military students pursuing degrees in STEM fields.
How are veteran organizations viewing these proposed changes?
The comments from veteran services organizations are largely positive. While they would have preferred that the 15-year cap removal could have benefited all current veterans and active duty service members currently eligible for the post-9/11 GI Bill, they are happy with the changes that have been proposed. However, Christopher Goldsmith, Assistant Director for Policy and Government Affairs at Vietnam Veterans of America, noted that the proposed bill does not extend the GI Bill benefits to bad paper veterans who are currently not eligible for the GI Bill.
Jen, can you explain to us what bad paper veterans are?
Bad paper veterans consist of those that have been dishonorably discharged. The VVA is pushing for those veterans who have been dishonorably discharged due to PTSD or traumatic brain injury to regain the GI Bill eligibility. Goldsmith said that the VVA's next major priority will be to push for GI Bill benefits for these veterans.
Jen, how is the House proposing that these new expanded changes will be paid for?
Well, a draft plan circulated by the committee in April drew fire after it initially proposed paying for the $3 billion cost of upgraded benefits over 10 years by reducing new enlistees' monthly pay by $100 per month. Some veterans groups criticized that plan as an unfair tax on the troops, noting that Army privates typically earn less than $1,500 a month. The legislation unveiled by the committee Thursday would be paid for through a slight reduction in housing stipend payments.
So what's the next step for this proposed bill?
The bill went through a legislative hearing on Monday, followed by a committee markup on July 19th and a floor vote sometime before August. It will then be sent to the Senate for approval before ending up at the White House. House committee members appeared confident that it would pass, and members of the Senate have already expressed their support of the proposed bill.
Jim, thanks for bringing us this story. Keep us updated when it makes its way to the Senate. Listeners, stay tuned after this short break for our interview with Crystal Oliveira, talking about helping your child select a relevant career.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationInTouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham.
And I'm your co-host, DJ Sutterfield. Tonight we have with us Crystal Oliveria. Crystal raised over $70,000 from grants and scholarships to help pay for her own college education at two private universities, the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in San Francisco and Holy Names University in Oakland, California.
Crystal has helped others get into their top chosen college, generate money via grants and scholarships, and get hands-on experience in their related career field. Crystal provides a safe space to explore options in depth while providing guidance that results in children being able to reach their full potential more easily. Welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thank you for having me as a guest.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Okay. I was born and raised in Fresno, California, in the fields, and I knew education was important to me because I didn't want to work in the fields, and that's why I was eager and motivated to figure out ways to help pay for college because I know that my mom wouldn't be able to afford it. And tonight, I'm calling from Clovis, California, which is the town nearby where I was born.
So can you tell me what led you into becoming a career coach?
School and had done everything right in terms of I researched a good school, got scholarships, I got a good paying job at a good company, I had begun working my way up the corporate ladder, and I got laid off because of a housing bubble burst. And I really didn't know what else I wanted to do. I knew that a lot of people weren't buying clothes and fashion because people were concerned about losing their homes. And so I really struggled to figure out what my new career path was going to be. And I had other parents coming up to me saying, you know, I really like what you did in terms of being able to afford college. And I want that for my kid too. But have you ever thought about helping kids figure out a relevant career? And I just thought that that was a service that's really, really needed.
Okay.
So, Crystal, I have a question. My daughter's 16, and she's a rising junior. When do you think parents need to have that career conversation? Because that's what I've been mulling over with my daughter, trying to figure out when's the right time. So what do you think is the right time for parents to have that conversation?
Well, she's certainly at the right age, but I do recommend parents start the conversation as early as junior high school.
Wow, that's really young.
That's the reason why, because a lot of times what happens is if you wait till your child's a junior or senior in high school, sometimes they might pick a career saying they're interested in it, and by the time they really start to dive deep and explore it, if they don't like it, then they don't have a lot of time to pivot and choose another career option.
Okay. How do you help children explore career options?
That's a great question. I always encourage children to get involved in hands-on activities. And again, if you start early in junior high, they can go to summer camps, they can go to after-school programs. And it really provides them good experience. And one of my favorite examples is if they go to, say, a robotics club. Even if your child's not interested in robotics, they can still get exposure to other careers, such as maybe electrical engineer or a mechanical engineer, They can think about computers and computer programming, and it just really gives them an opportunity to explore and have fun and figure out, is this something I want to learn about? Is this something I want to take more classes in? And it just really gets that conversation started early.
Okay.
I have a question with that one. So being started early, you know, I have talked with my daughter about different things over the years, and she's constantly changing her mind. And so now, of course, you know, she has something in mind now, and then I wonder, okay, so this is the track that you're going to go on, but we're going to have to, you know, pay for college for that. And what if you don't like it? And so we're, you know, and then she's switching still. So with the expense of, you know, college, how do you help families afford it? You know, how do you tell them what to do to start figuring that piece out?
That's a great question. Before I answer that, I just want to say that I really encourage your daughter to explore careers, and that's why starting young is better, is because then she has that time to keep changing her mind and being okay, because you know she has time to figure out, if this isn't right for her, let's find a better fit. But really, when it comes to affording college, it's all about getting grants and scholarships. They're available. There's a lot of them out there. And when your child explores what she's interested in, that's what gives her something to talk about on the essays. Because the scholarship essays are often about, well, why are you interested in this career? And if your daughter has taken a summer school course or an after-school program, then she has something to write about on her essays. And it really shows the scholarship judges, like, wow, she's engaged, she's interested in this. It's not just some airy-fairy idea that popped into her head because she was watching YouTube and thought that would be cool.
I have a question for you. So, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. You were talking about ways of, you know, getting them in and getting them, you know, the experience in the career fields, but do they just go to their guidance counselor? How do they get the experience in the related career field that they want to work in or possibly work in?
I really like that you brought up the question about career guidance counselors, because statistically the schools don't have enough of them, and one career guidance counselor might have 300 students.
Oh.
And that means, yeah, your child isn't going to get a lot of guidance. So to answer your question, I mean, yes, it's a starting point. I always encourage going to the career guidance, but I really think that's why parents need to have this conversation, to realize that you need to help take on some of the responsibility and encourage that conversation with your child, because you can't rely solely on the school system to do that. And it doesn't have to be a hard conversation, and it can be really fun.
Okay. And how do you, because we were talking about the financial thing, how do you keep from being negative towards your child? Because I want to, my youngest is, this is his second year of college, and I'm trying to be positive, but I'm also looking at that dollar line too. I'm like, why do you need to take that class? So how do you, because I want to make sure he's going the right path. Do you understand?
And that's the importance of having an ongoing conversation, is because if you have an open conversation, then your child will feel comfortable with you asking questions. And there's a difference between your child feeling like, I'm being reprimanded, versus, oh, my mom's just curious. And so if you can have that conversation about, like, did you talk to your career counselor? When was the last time you talked to your guidance counselor? How many classes do you need? Is this an elective that you have to take, or do you get to select it? And let that kid tell you, like, yes, this is required for me, or no, it's not. And really help your child understand what college costs. Because if your child doesn't understand how much every course costs, they might be like, well, I'm going to school. Why are you not encouraging me to take another class?
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
So just to piggyback off the whole cost thing, because, of course, I'm looking at that ahead with my daughter, you know, I have friends that they're like, well, just let them go to community college, and it doesn't matter, you know, at that point, because they're all just getting just the regular base courses, and then they could figure it out during those 2 years of junior college. Is that something that you encourage parents to look at because of the financial portion of this and how expensive, you know, just getting straight into a university costs?
That's a great question. And certainly community colleges are a better fit for some students than they are for others. And a lot of it just depends on your situation. If a child isn't really sure what they want to do, then that's always a good route to help get their feet wet as to what is college, what does it cost, what do they need to look into. Sometimes having them take a couple of courses and things that they're interested in will help them get an idea as far as what it would be like. For other students who are more, they need more structure, JC can be more challenging because a lot of times you have adults going back to the program and they don't have as much of a structured program with kids in their own age group. You get a lot more people from all walks of life. And so sometimes that environment can be distracting to other kids who really need someone to come in and they need to get on track with a certain course and to be on track for all 4 years.
Thank you. I appreciate that advice. It's a very hard little road to take. It's one thing, I think, when we were doing it as a, you know, growing up, but then when you have kids and you're trying to encourage them and put them on the right path, it just seems like it's very overwhelming to try to help them and guide them to, especially when they're young and they have so many different options and they just can't seem to narrow it down. It's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, and you know what? One of the things I like to recommend for family vacations, if you're traveling towards a town, just stop by and check out the college campus. And for a lot of kids, it's fun because it's something different. They're thinking about their future, and it really helps them understand the difference between, say, a private college or a public university. They really get to see the difference between these huge lecture labs that might hold 300 students versus maybe a community college where it might have 45 students. And sometimes when you're talking to your kids, they don't really get it. But if you're taking them to these colleges and doing the college tour and they're excited about it because you're like, yeah, let's go check out this campus and buy some ice cream or buy some nachos, then they're excited about it. But it also helps them see it from a different perspective. And so when you talk about it, it's not this big, like, oh, it's college. It's this big, scary thing we have to plan for. It's more like, oh, yeah, like, that's time I get to spend with my mom, and we get to, like, hang out and check out campuses. And you're really trying to turn it into a fun experience that your child looks forward to.
Okay, so we had someone write in, and they have a question for you, okay? It says, what resources would we use to talk about college and career options with our children? Would you recommend the internet, or do that you feel like they may not be a reliable way of getting information about it? Do you, more or less, do you think that the experience of going to the university is better than just researching on the internet?
I like both options of researching on the internet as well as visiting campuses. The challenge I have with the internet is there's a lot of commercials, and to kids it plays into this, like, imaginary, what does it mean to go to college? And they get this image in their head about what it's going to be like, and they often don't know what kinds of questions to ask. And so it's great if they have an idea and they want to learn more about a campus and they want to learn more about a specific career. I think it's a good starting point. But I think to really help kids understand, is this someplace I'm going to make a commitment to? It's always easier when they're there in person and they can prepare by being on the internet and say, you know, what's the list? What are the top 10 questions I should ask a college? And so when they go on a college tour, they're kind of already familiar with the college or the majors that that school offers. But when they go there, they can ask questions like, is there anything else I need to know about this college or this program? Can I check out the classes and look at the labs? Or what kind of jobs do students get when they graduate? Or how do you help students get jobs after they graduate? Those are the types of questions you can't always get online. So it's good to start online just to get an idea of what to make a list of questions you want to ask when you get there.
Okay, that's great.
So I have another person that's writing in a question for you. What qualities in colleges and universities should we discuss with our children?
I'd really start with thinking about what works best for your child in terms of, is your child very social? And if he or she is, then you might want to consider a larger public university, because they tend to have a lot more social clubs, versus if your child tends to need a lot of attention and likes the one-on-one help, then your child's probably going to want to attend a smaller school where they have a smaller teacher-to-student ratio. So I would look at how does your child learn best? Does your child learn best through lectures or a lot of hands-on learning? And then go find a college that has that same type of learning style.
Perfect. Very good to know. Very good to know. So, Crystal, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about how parents can help their children find jobs before they graduate from college.
Okay.
Listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN Core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guests by going to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and use hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Make sure to click on the live tab to get real-time chat updates. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Saving money can seem overwhelming, but there is one easy step you can take now that will pave the way towards attaining those lofty savings goals in the new year. This is a Money Minute from In Charge Education Foundation and MilitaryMoney.com. Start planning out your financial future by creating SMART goals and putting them down on paper. Studies show that writing out your goals makes you much more likely to succeed. Remember, SMART stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. When creating your goals, be as specific as possible and make it exciting. Make it measurable by answering questions like how much and how many. Believe that you can attain your financial goals. When you write them out on paper, you begin to figure out ways to reach them. A realistic goal represents objectives that you are both willing and able to work towards. Lastly, you'll know your financial goals are timely if you have a time frame that creates a sense of urgency. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with Dachshund Breeding.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Information on hot water heating.
No. Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out the words.
World music, playing track now.
No.
Let me try. Our daughter gets confused about which details in a story are important.
Which paper towels are most absorbent?
What?
Here are 5 product reviews.
Why are you not getting me?
See, I told you.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed the live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Crystal Olivaria, a career coach at Career Conversationalist. Before we jump back into our discussion with Crystal, she would like to offer our listeners a complimentary 1-hour Help Your Child Discover a Relevant Career Discovery session as a way to support the families that serve our country, because every family is different and has its unique challenges. To sign up for your complimentary discovery session, go to careerconversationalist.com/schedule. Once again, that's careerconversationalist.com/schedule. If you missed the web address, a direct link is being posted on AWN's Twitter feed and in the comments section below this podcast episode on blogtalkradio.com. Now, let's jump back into our interview with career coach Crystal Olivaria. Before we went to break, we were talking about how children gain experience related to their chosen career field. So, Crystal, how do you help children get jobs prior to graduating college?
I help children understand what the process is of getting a job and how to start looking at companies that they would be interested in working for. And I make it exciting by helping them think about what are your dream companies that you would like to work for? And what is it about them that you like and why do you want to work for them? And I really help them point out, are the companies they're gravitating to, are they large companies? Are they small companies? What is it about it that they like? And really encouraging them to follow them on social media, getting to understand their mission and who, what kind of clients that they serve. And understanding these things are going to help them when they have an interview. And it's going to give them something to talk about during the interview. And employers are going to be really impressed when they're like, wow, you read our articles, you know about our website. And I really just try to make it engaging and fun, something they're stressed out about when it's time to graduate, but rather it's something gradual that they have a growing interest in while they're in college.
Crystal, this whole process can be uncertain and scary. How do you help families deal with the emotional impact? Because each one of them is experiencing something different.
Yes. Every kid has their challenges and their fears. And it really comes to helping kids understand that it's not right or wrong. It's about making a decision and understanding if that decision is a good fit for you. And so, for example, right now I'm working with a kid who he loves to game. He loves the gaming industry. And so for him, it can be really, he's used to people being critical of, you know, what's right, wrong. He's used to the peer pressure from his peers or people making fun of him because he's overweight. And so he doesn't always have this confidence about talking about what career he wants to go to because he's so used to being criticized. And really it's helping him understand that not everybody's going to like what you do and what choices you make. But if you're able to have a conversation and explain, you know, how big the gaming industry is, how many jobs it provides, not only does it make him look impressive, but it helps him build his confidence. And so he feels better talking about it to his mom, to people that he meets, and when he's doing internships and potential employers.
And that more good advice. I'm loving all this stuff. Of course, because I told you that my 16-year-old daughter, and like I said, she's all over the place. One week she's wanting this, the next week she's interested in that. How do I get her to stay focused and committed to, you know, just even one or two paths?
I'd really have a conversation with her about why she's interested in such a wide variety of things. And see if there's a common thread between all the things that she's interested in. And it could be that if she's a child that's always on the go, she might like to be outdoors and just has a hard time sitting at the computer. And she's really just exploring those paths. And it's really important to understand what's the underlying behavior, because once you understand that, then you can say, okay, let's focus on these careers that meet this certain parameter. Like if you need to get up and be active and be outside, what kind of careers fit that model? And then once you do that, then it's easier for your child to be committed and say, okay, I'm going to learn about, you know, what are your top three careers out of everything you've done and explored? And it's easier to get your child to take that commitment to dive deeper if they've explored a lot of careers, which is, again, why it's important to get a child started early so they dabble around in a lot of things. But as they get older, you want them to start pruning it back and saying, okay, you need to take the next step and go deeper. Now you just need to start limiting your options. And then your daughter will feel less pressure to pick the one career versus, okay, let me start whittling it down. I know it's not a good fit for me. And then it's easier for her to make that commitment and stay focused.
Awesome. Crystal. Thank
you. And you know how peer pressure is, and you know how kids are, and they choose their own friends. We don't choose them for them. How do you help your child if his friends or her friends are unmotivated and not supportive as far as going to college and, you know, the future career?
So a lot of it just begins with having an ongoing conversation. And when you talk about college being important and why it's important to you, then your child will understand. I mean, your child gets a lot of peer pressure from school administration to go to college. And kids are either on board or they're not. And a lot of times they tie their identity and their self-worth to their grades and their grade point averages and their test scores and the ACT and the SAT test scores. And kids can be really unmotivating just because if they feel like they can't do it, they don't want to be left behind, and then they can start pulling your child down. So by telling your child why college is important, how having a college degree will help them get a job in the future or will prevent them from being unemployed or will always help them have a job, they begin to see the importance of it. And then you start building on to that by saying, you know, the benefits of college are, and then just start listing them. You get to meet new people. You have the opportunity to take new classes. You get new experiences because of all the different clubs. And you're really painting a picture of what the future can be like. And your child will naturally want to have that fun, go towards that lifestyle of this is fun. And when your child wants it, your child will naturally lean away from people who are unmotivating and non-supportive. But if you try to tell your kid you shouldn't hang out with them, they're not going to listen because that's their friend. But if you give them an alternative, which is a fun lifestyle to make new friends, to have more supportive friends, then they're naturally going to lean in that direction. And then by themselves, they'll start putting space between them and their non-supporting friends.
So, Crystal, what services do you offer to assist families with career conversationalists?
I do offer a coaching program, and that's an interactive program. I've had a lot of parents tell me, I want my kids to have the information, but I'm afraid if I just buy them a book that they're not going to read it, they're not going to implement it. And that's how I came up with a 90-day program that lets kids get involved. They get to ask questions. They get to have a weekly call and their own private Facebook community.
Crystal, would you remind our listeners how they can sign up for a complimentary discovery session? Excuse me.
Yes. They can go to careerconversationalist.com/schedule.
And I got another question, a call-in. Do you just work with undergrads and youth, or do you work with higher-level education too, like people are trying to, you know, go towards their master's or something?
Yes, I do work with people who are going to higher levels of education. And the way I like to explain it is I'm teaching kids how to have relevant career skills, and it's really about how do they uphold themselves, how do they talk about themselves, their career goals, how do they represent themselves well on social media, which is very important because employers will look them up, as well as with scholarship judges and oftentimes school selection committees. They're very curious about who's enrolling in their program. So it's all about helping people have the skill sets they're going to need to get through college and beyond. Great question.
What's the most rewarding part of your job?
It's watching the self-confidence of the students, because a lot of times when they come to me, they're scared, they're unsure. They're used to going to school and being told what to do. And they're not sure how to ask a lot of questions just because in class they're afraid to raise their hand. They're afraid someone's going to think they're stupid, or, you know, they're concerned that they're going to ask too many questions and the teacher's going to get annoyed and be like, did you do your homework? Why don't you understand? And when they come to me, they're just really shy and quiet. And then as we start working together, And I just get to watch them blossom into this human being where they have self-confidence, they know how to ask questions, and they really become self-learners. And it's kind of like letting a baby bird, like, flap their wings and fly off successfully because they've learned a new skill. They've learned something that's going to last them their entire lifetime.
So then what's your most challenging part?
That's a great question. It would probably be in the beginning when I'm having a conversation with them. And a lot of times parents are so protective of their kids. The parents are like, this is my kid. This is my entire life. Like, I'm not sure I want to trust you to give my child the skills that's going to last a lifetime. And the kids often, they're not used to having someone believe in their dreams. And so they're like, yes, that's nice. That's different. I want that. But they don't always know how to tell their parents that. And so sometimes navigating that conversation to help parents realize your child's not getting a lot of coaching in school. A lot of it is peer pressure to go to college, but they're not having that conversation about what's your child's genius zone. Because some kids learn hands-on, and our academic school system is very focused on reading and taking a test and doing well, and that's the primary mode of learning. And so sometimes just having a conversation in the beginning with families to help them understand that the child really wants the services, but they're not used to being vocal about what they want. They're used to being told what they can and can't have.
Where do you hope to see your career as a coach go in the future, Crystal?
I would ultimately love to become a household name brand. And my goal is I'm just being on more podcasts like this one and writing articles and really getting the word out. And I really appreciate you having me a guest on the show and what you were talking about in terms of the GI Bill. I've seen, and I know people who've gone to these schools that are aggressive. They know people have money because of the GI Bill and they're targeted. And part of, I feel like making sure that that taxpayer's money is spent really wisely is just making sure that you have the education to know what is a good school. And by taking the time to visit the different colleges, you're going to see varying levels of professionalism. You might think a school's great, and when you go there and they don't return your phone calls and they don't have information and they're not organized, or you feel any kind of pressure, those are yellow and red flags. And, you know, if you wait till the last minute to talk about college, a lot of people just think that's the way it is. But if they start the career journey sooner and they get to see a wide variety of schools, then they realize that that's not the only choice, and they're not going to feel pressured into these schools who are unfortunately targeting people in a way they shouldn't have. And that's why we have these laws that are being created to help protect your audience and other people from people who are unscrupulous.
Crystal, thank you so much for being our guest this evening and sharing with us how parents can guide their children with career choices and just all the great information you gave us. I know it's going to personally help me a lot with my teenager, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you for having me a guest on the show, and I encourage us to continue this conversation, and you can sign up for a discovery session at careerconversationalist.com/schedule.
Thank you again. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to join us next week, July 31st, 2017, when our featured guest will be Miranda Hoffman, joining us to share about OHI, the online platform that is changing the way military spouses meet new friends.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors or follow along on any of the social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
Interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.